Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, and thanking you for your support of this show. Whether you are sharing the podcast with friends or writing in to us with your appreciation and your questions, or if you're financially supporting us, Judy and I are grateful. We create this show for you and we couldn't keep it going and growing without you. So thank you very much. Today is a Mighty Parenting Tackles episode, and I'm here tackling the topic of family vacations. So if you didn't already know this, and I don't know if we've actually talked about it on the podcast before, but I coach people on relieving stress in their life. I help people go through their priorities and their goals and quantify those in a way that lets them see exactly what it means in their life and then help them set up a way of living that allows them to take care of the most important aspects of their lives while ditching their stress and their guilt along the way. And many of the principles that we apply through that work can also help us have a better family vacation. So whether you are making the most of these last weeks of summer, I know August is big family vacation month, so whether you're making the most of these weeks and taking your vacation, or you already took your family vacation and maybe it just didn't go the way you planned, or maybe you're looking forward and you're planning a Christmas family getaway or next year's summer vacation or Easter break, I have some ideas that can help you get what you want from the situation. Now, one thing that's really common is for parents to blame the bad vacation on the kids, especially if you have a teenager who's being surly or difficult. And I totally get it. And this is definitely a tempting way to go. And absolutely, a better attitude from the kids goes a long way toward making a better vacation for everybody. The thing is that if we blame them, then we give up the power to have a good vacation. What we're saying is, hey, my teenager's attitude ruined the trip. Okay, if we can say that, but then we're also saying, hey, my vacation is at the mercy of a teenager, and there's nothing I can do to change that other than trying to change the teenager. And I think we all know that that's a pretty big challenge, right? So personally, I'm not a fan of that thinking, at least for myself and definitely for my clients, because what happens when you do that is you feel helpless, and I don't like to feel helpless. So I want to talk about the things that we can do ourselves that give us control that can help to improve our family vacation. All right. So the first thing I want to look at is talk about our expectations. I remember when my girls were in junior high, this wasn't a family vacation, but we would plan times for the three of us to spend a little time together, mommy-daughter time, and I would always get really excited about it. You know, sometimes it was just to go out to dinner, sometimes it would be an entire day, whatever it was. Maybe, sometimes dad would be gone, he's going on a backpacking trip or something, and so we're going to have a few days. So here we are, and I still remember this so clearly. So there's one incident. All right. Me and my girls were headed out to the car, and we're talking about what we'd like to do. Before we even get to the car, things start to deteriorate. One daughter wants to do one thing, the other wants to do another thing, and when we talk about where to eat dinner, it all starts over again. Nobody can agree on anything, and while they're going back and forth and discussing and maybe even bickering, I'm up front, get in the driver's seat, and I'm just frustrated beyond belief. And I'm probably sad, but I didn't recognize that emotion. I recognized the frustration. I recognized anger. And, you know, here I am. I'm like, all I wanted to do was spend a nice day with my girls. And these two can't even agree on one simple thing. And there go my thoughts, just spiraling round and round and down until I'm aggravated and annoyed and angry. And now I'm adding to the discord of the situation. And I'm all like, I don't even want to go do this anymore. This isn't gonna be any fun. Let's just forget the whole thing, right? Is where you feel like. What I finally figured out, though, after I saw this type of situation repeat itself, just at home, on vacations, different times that we were together, well, what I finally realized was that the girls weren't doing anything wrong. They were being themselves. They were acting the same way they do every day. They don't like the same things. They don't necessarily like to do the same things. They don't like to eat the same foods. They have different favorite restaurants. They were just being them. And the problem with the situation was that I had created this storybook vision of our day out. And that was my expectation, this little fairy tale, right? It was unrealistic. And even if it was possible or likely, you know, there are three human beings involved here and things happen. So eventually, when I finally understood what was happening, I started to do things differently. Instead of trying to change the kids and going, when we go on these things, you guys know you need to get along and you need to agree. That's not reality. We can't just tell them this is how you're going to be. But I can change me. So first of all, I let go of the fairy tale. Stopped thinking that this outing was going to be perfection and that they weren't going to ever bicker or disagree or that I wasn't ever going to have a negative emotion when we were out on some time together as a family or mommy-daughter time, right? Secondly, I decided to nip some of those common arguments in the bud. So either I decided what we were doing and just said, hey guys, let's go do some mommy-daughter time on Saturday. You know, let's go down to the beach, and I would pick the beach because we have several near our house. I say, let's go down to this beach and we'll pack a picnic lunch and we'll spend the afternoon. You guys can bring your books. We'll build some sandcastles. We'll read in the sand and give them that kind of casual but outline of what the day would look like. Then they didn't have to argue about what they wanted to do. Not that you couldn't still have something happen you were there, but at least it got us set up initially without having a disagreement before we even left our driveway. The same types of things I'm talking about happening here happen on our vacations. We get these crazy expectations and we create fairy tale scenarios in our heads about what this time together is going to look like. And we expect our kids to be different just because we're on vacation, just like I was expecting them to be different just because we were having mommy-daughter time, right? So, we are responsible for those expectations that we have. We can realize and accept that the fairy tale's not going to happen. Our kids are not going to be different. That's just not the way things work. So that's the first step, is check our expectations. Don't expect problems. I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying think of the worst case scenario and everything else is better. That's not the plan here. But check your expectations. Be appropriate about it. And I know for me, I find that not having any expectations about the situation makes it so much better. So just expect life and be ready to roll with the punches. So expectations are the first part of what we can change and what we can take the reins and take control of. The second thing is actually to plan. What if we're doing a family vacation, we always have to plan, right? We plan a family vacation thinking that we're going to have fun and togetherness, and we end up with that frustration, the fighting, the boredom, the tension. And then we come home feeling exhausted and drained, and so do our kids. Well, most people I talk to, they get back from vacation, and what do they say? I'm sure you hear it too. Oh my gosh, yeah, we just got back from vacation. Oh, I need a vacation to recover from my vacation. And I get it. Vacations can be exhausting. And there are a few reasons this happens. One is just the prepping wears us out before we even leave. This is a lot of extra work. Our lives are already busy. We have lots of things going on. Our kids have things going on. Our spouses have things going on. If you have, you know, multiple households that you're dealing with, you add in all of that. it's busy. And now we're going to add in all the prep for going on vacation. You got to get plans for the animals and plans for your home and, you know, get all the laundry done and things packed. And if you're traveling out of season, pull out the clothes, see what fits, blah, 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 blah. So prepping can wear us out. Another reason that vacations get exhausting is the kids are being difficult. Whether it's apathy, hostility, or sibling bickering, not having engaged and happy kids does not contribute to the atmosphere we were hoping for on our vacation. A third reason that vacation can be exhausting is that in an effort to maximize every single moment of our vacation, we burn ourselves out on the trip. We're trying to see everything and do everything, and that doesn't allow us to actually experience anything. And then the last thing is coming home and jumping right back into life. That's exhausting too. So, what are we going to do about all this? Well, we're going to plan, and we're going to start out with, we're planning together. So bring your teenager into the planning process of the vacation right from the very beginning. And bring your partner, your spouse, your significant other into the planning from the beginning. If you're co-parenting, bring the other parent in from the beginning. Figuring out dates matters. Figuring out people's schedules matters. So let's start this off on the right foot here. After you've chosen kind of dates or whatever, think carefully, very carefully, about what it is you want from this vacation. What do you need right now? Do you need family togetherness? Do you need quiet? Do you need bustling activity? Do you need relaxation? Do you need adventure? What is it that you're craving right now? What sounds good to you? Really spend some time thinking about that. Don't go with a knee-jerk reaction, because oftentimes our knee-jerk is just to say, oh, I need total quiet and to do nothing. And it feels that way because our life is busy. But then you get on vacation, you're like, okay, you know, a day or two of sitting here doing nothing and I'm done. So think it through. And you can want more than one thing from your vacation. As you're doing this or after you do this, ask your teen, actually every member of your family, to do the same thing. Think about what they really want from the vacation. Then come together and talk about it. Let everybody air what it is that they want, what they need, what they're thinking. There are no wrong answers here. So give everybody the chance to share their thoughts. And then come to some agreement about what the focus of your vacation would be like. And again, it can be more than one thing. You can mix and match activities and quiet time. You can blend those things together. But everybody gets a chance to express themselves. Everybody needs to be willing to compromise and perhaps split time. So you can spend some time covering various needs or interests and other time covering others. So if, you know, mom wants to go, 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 and dad and one kid are going, I really need a relaxing vacation. Well, then you just put it out there and go, okay, guys, you know, we have two very different sets of needs right now. How do you think we can meet all those? It is not your job, mom or dad, who is listening right now, to come up with the magic answer. Part of the magic is letting the whole family work together to come to the answer. When our kids are part of the whole planning process, that gives them some skin in the game. That's Judy's favorite, right? Give them skin in the game. It gives them some, it's not the really responsibility that I want to say, but it gives them a sense of ownership of this vacation. So where the responsibility comes in is that in a weird way, you know, when you've helped plan and create something, then you kind of feel responsible for enjoying it. And you're not going to sit there and pick holes in it and be the grumpy puss in the back of the van or in the middle seat on the airplane all the time, because this was part of, I mean, this was you helping to be part of planning this. This was partly your dream and your vision. So ask them, you know, what do you guys think we can do? How can we handle this? Let the kids do some research to find some place that has ample opportunity to relax while still being close to activities. Kind of brainstorm together about what you might be looking for. I know there was a vacation Tom and I went on, it was before we had kids, but he and I are very different oftentimes about how we would like to spend our time on vacation. And so we went down to Jamaica to an all-inclusive resort, and we kind of split our days. We said, all right, so there was kind of a mid-morning excursion that left from the resort every day. And so we went on the excursion every day. And so we went out and we did things and we did activities. And then we would spend the afternoon relaxing, laying by the pool, you know, walking out and hanging on the beach, being in the ocean, maybe do a little snorkeling or something, but more relaxing, just hanging out. And in the evenings, listening to musicians, enjoying a little dancing. And it gave us this good mixture of sightseeing and fun and relaxation. So you can do the same kind of thing, right? As you're planning this, really listen to what you and your family are saying you need, but also remember to take into account personalities. Again, our family has two people who definitely need that alone time to recharge their batteries. And while I'm not someone who necessarily needs a ton of alone time, you know, from being with my family, I'll hit moments where I just need a little, hey, I need everyone to stop talking to me for a little while, right? So when we're planning a trip, we'll make sure that we have that time built in where people can be alone. And it might even be, you know, when we're doing an activity. It's just that maybe we don't have to do that activity all attached at the hip. So let's say we're going to Chicago for the weekend. You know, we can do breakfast together and then we can go out and we can do some exploring together. And then maybe we'll go to the museum. And when we get to the museum, we can set a time and a place and say, all right, everyone's going to meet up here at, you know, 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever. And then just let everybody go be free. Everyone can go see the exhibits that interest them the most. If someone wants to do that alone, they can do it alone. If people want to team up or group up to go do it, we can do that too. So it creates these pockets where people have the opportunity to get what they need as you're going through the day. And the same thing can happen. I used a museum as an example, but we can do the same thing, say, at the beach. So we spend some time together. We love to goof around, the four of us in the water. Then maybe, you know, a couple of us start building sandcastles, or all of us are building sandcastles or playing frisbee. And then after we've had some time together, people who want to be alone, they can go back up to their beach towel and read a book. They can move off to the side and build their own sandcastle or play in the water, whatever. We can kind of just take a little bit of space and use that time to let people recharge. And it doesn't matter how you're splitting things up. You can do it by activities, by hour, by day. So one day might be really busy and another day might be a down day. I kept talking about kind of mixing them in together, probably because that's what works well for our family. But, you know, your family's different. And you might have all people who are go-getters or all people who just want to chill on the beach. Whatever works for you guys, do it. But it's this planning it and thinking it through together and picking destinations and picking activities and going through all that with the family and making decisions together. And one of the issues that often comes up when you're doing that planning is kids will come up with an idea and it's just outside the family budget. And parents will go, no, we can't do that. So here's the thing. We've had a lot of shows here. We talk about giving our kids more responsibility, bringing them in on the planning of the vacation, asking them to research things. Those are giving them responsibility. You can also share the vacation budget with your teenager. We're supposed to be teaching them about money. And if you have a kid who you're like, oh my gosh, that'll blow their mind, then maybe give them a piece of it. Say, hey, this is our hotel budget. We need to find a place that fits this so that you can chunk it down instead of just doing one big, huge piece, whatever you think they can handle. But by sharing with them, hey, this is our budget, and yes, we want to have a great vacation. We know we can have a great vacation. we just need to make it happen within this, it sits better with them. Because if we don't tell them, you know, we start filtering ideas based on the budget, and all they hear is, nope, mom and dad aren't going to do what you want. Or, yeah, we don't like your ideas. Or we said we'd listen, but we're not going to actually act on any suggestions you make. They just hear themselves being shot down. But if you can share with them, say, you know, I totally get that. And, you know, I know you would love that. Or I think that sounds amazing. I don't see how it's going to fit in our budget right now. Can you help me look at that and figure out what we want to do? And you start brainstorming together again. It might be that somebody wants to go zip lining. You know, they want the whole family to go zip lining and everybody's excited. And so you go, well, you know, all right, so we're going to go zip lining this day. And instead of doing these other three activities, we're going to do things that are free. We're going to go hike some trails, or, you know, we're near someplace where we can go to some of the free museums and things. There are different ways of managing things. Or, okay, well, we wanted to go zip lining because that's just something we've never done before. Well, what's something else we've never done before? Hey guys, let's find something we've never done before in this area that, you know, still fits our budget. And that brainstorming process, again, brings buy-in from them. It helps to take down the walls that can come up. And sometimes they just haven't thought about things, or we haven't thought about things. So people go, oh my gosh, yes, I want a relaxing beach vacation. And the first thing you think of is, you know, Cancun. Well, you know what? There are places you can relax on a beach in the United States. And maybe you can get a better deal to Cancun too. I mean, you never know with the way packages and prices go, but I'm just saying, and even in the States, I know that oftentimes the coasts can get a little pricey. Well, you know what? There's a third coast all along the shores of the Great Lakes. And that's even cheaper. That's just out here in the Midwest. And we do not have the same kinds of price tags as the big cities do. You know, if you were going, ooh, you know, an eco vacation would be really cool. Maybe you can't or don't want to go to the rainforest with the whole family. Well, maybe there's something you can do in the state parks or the national parks that could be a similar type of experience for you. And again, you know, if we're talking budgets, there was actually, it was U.S. News and World Report. They had a nice post on cheap family vacations. And what I liked about it is, I mean, I don't know what the bottom line was on dollar amounts or how they picked them, but just in going through it, it made me think of things differently. Like one of their top, I think it was like in the top three, was Washington, D.C. And that isn't someplace I would have thought of as an inexpensive family vacation spot. But their point was, is the museums, the monuments, all there are all these things to do that are free. Just wandering the city is interesting and it can be exciting and fun. And again, if you have Energizer bunnies in your families, you can walk, you can rent bikes, so you can get some of that energy out too. So just, you know, it gives you some different ways of thinking about things. I'll put a link to that article in the show notes. You have to go to mightyparenting.com for this episode to get the show notes on that, but I'll put a link to that article in there. So basically, I think you get the idea. You know, while you're at it, while you're talking to your kids, make sure that they're helping you plan this, but also that they understand how the finances work on the trip. Like, are the adults here going to be doing all the purchasing? Are you giving the kids some money to spend and you're going to give it to them before you leave? Do they need to bring their own money? And make sure everyone's clear on, you know, who's paying for what and who will decide how that money's spent. I know a lot of times when parents are handing out the money, you know, if they're giving the money, they want to put some ground rules around what it can be spent on. Or if you're not just giving it to the kids, if you're going to be actually doing the purchasing on the trip, then who decides how that money can be spent? Again, being clear with them up front just takes a lot of the arguments out of the trip. Not saying they can't happen by any stretch of the imagination, but our kids, when they're involved in the planning, when they understand the boundaries, when they know what to expect, then they won't go create those fairy tale scenarios that crush them when they find out that, you know, there won't be dirt bike racing, or they won't be ziplining, or there won't be an endless stream of cash coming their way. Just like I talked about creating my fairy tale scenarios about going out with my girls, our kids do the same thing. You know, you're talking about this family vacation, and they're going to have their own thoughts around it and what that means and what it looks like. So the more communication we have up front, the less likely they are to have a totally, totally off-base fairy tale made up. Another thing that I mentioned earlier and what goes wrong is that we need a vacation to recover from our vacation. When we plan a vacation, we want to maximize our time away from home. And I get that. And I used to do the same thing. It's like, you know, the minute you can get everybody out of work, get out the door and stay as long as you can until somebody's got to be back at work, right? But giving yourself some time on the front end to pack and to organize your personal life and organize your home for being away, that can reduce the busyness and the stress going into the trip. So you're not falling into the car or flopping into your seat on the airplane just going, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, before you've even gone anywhere or done anything. So that front end, a little bit of time there can help. It's also important to give yourself a day or two, or depending on you, maybe three, when you come home, so that you can unpack and you can recover from the trip. You know, if you arrive home, think about this. You're coming home, it's 8 o'clock on Sunday night, and you're walking in the door, and everybody has to hit the ground running on Monday morning. There's no food in the fridge. You have all this luggage and all this dirty laundry. Goodness knows if you finished the laundry that stayed home before you left, because, you know, oftentimes there are piles of that laying around too. So do people have the clothes? Do they have the books, the instruments, the whatever it is that they need to get through that Monday? And so you walk in the door from your vacation and you had this nice time, and now you come in and you're like, oh my gosh, it is complete pandemonium. So if you can give yourself whatever you think works for you, a day or two, just unpack, do the laundry, go grocery shopping, mow the lawn, sort the mail, set up whatever you need for everyone to get out the door on Monday. And hopefully you'll be delegating a lot of that. But again, you walk in the door on Monday night and you're telling your kids, you got to do this and this and this. Make sure all your stuff's ready for tomorrow. That's not going to go over well with them either. So having a little bit of time to recoup and recover, and everybody can help get you back into the real world, but still be able to keep your vacation mojo. Also, if you are planning a really busy, active vacation, you may want to have a couple of days at home to simply rest up before heading back to work. Active, busy, fun vacations are amazing, but we do also need to rest a little bit. And we might need to do that depending on you and your personality and your kids' personalities. You know, our vacations can bring so much to our lives. And when we take a little time to think about what we really want from them, we can maximize our opportunity to truly enjoy it. And especially when we give ourselves that little bit of room around the edges. And the last big thing that I see and hear that goes wrong on family vacations, especially with teenagers, is that we forget to feed and water the family. When we have toddlers, we never leave home without a handy snack, because we know that hunger can cause a meltdown. And when our kids are teens, we forget that same hunger can short circuit their mental and emotional management systems just as easily. I'm an adult. I still remember clearly, Tom and I were at my parents' house. It was right after we got married, I believe. It was either right before or right after. And we're at my parents' house, and I can still see my mom and Tom and I standing around the counter in their kitchen. And the two of them are talking and planning the rest of the day. And I think I said once or twice, you know, I need to get some food, I need lunch or whatever. And I still remember what it felt like. It was everything in my brain was totally focused on getting food. My entire existence was just about getting food. And I finally yelled, I need to eat right now. So here's a grown adult who is so hangry that she can't function. What happens to our teenagers? So when you are out, remember to be conscious of making sure that everybody's getting fed and watered. Eat regular meals, stay hydrated, and carry an emergency snack. I actually do this for both my hubby and my kids, as well as myself, is this carrying an emergency snack, because Tom just doesn't notice, and so the hunger sneaks up on him, and he gets blindsided. Now, my girls will notice that they're getting hungry, and they'll say something about it, but there has to be food available. And depending where you are and what you're doing, that's not always the case. So I either carry myself or I pass out and make sure they are carrying. We usually just take a food bar, like a protein bar or something. We have the brands that we like that fit our diet and all that jazz. And we don't love them. Oftentimes, one of my girls and I would be like, will you split one of these with me? I have to eat something to tide me over, but this is just not fabulous food. But it's enough. It's enough to stave off those hangries and give us some time to find some actual food. Also, this is actually an interesting opportunity. If you have a foodie in the family, they might want to dig into this portion of the planning, and they might want to find some different venues or interesting venues, or again, like Washington, D.C., there are food trucks everywhere. Maybe they can find out how the food truck system is working there, where you go to get the best food truck food and things like that. Just adding that fun aspect to it. And then again, this will add to their interest in the trip and give them things to look forward to along the way. Then when you go, just kick back, relax, and enjoy your vacation. And one last thing, I suppose I said that the feed and water your family was the last thing, but technically that's not true because I thought of one other thing. Get ready to share the crazy stories of failure. And you're going to be doing that for years to come because that's what happens, right? Stuff happens on vacation. You got lost, somebody had a meltdown, the keys were missing, the airline lost the luggage, whatever. Who knows what happened? Whoever was supposed to plan out the zip lining experience didn't realize that the place was closed. And what did you do instead? Those failures are the annoying and irritating and undesirable things that happen, but they become the family stories that you tell year after year. And what's really neat about that is the telling of family stories actually builds family bonds. And the mishaps are a big part of what stands out. So one little trick for the parents is when you're out and something like that's happening, rather than letting your thoughts pop into that negative spiral and letting them go down the drain, go, this is going to make a great family story. And then you know that people will be sharing that story year after year after year. And hopefully that will help you chill a little bit. And that's it. Those are the core things. Yes, there are lots of other, little things you can do to plan ahead and all that kind of thing. But really, I've found for ourselves and in talking with people that the most important things are to plan it together. Let everyone be on the same page. Let everyone have some buy-in. Let everyone have some skin in the game there as to what kind of vacation you're going to have, where you're going to go, what you're going to do. Include the kids in that planning and also let them know the budget or the pieces of the budget that you want them to work with so that they can help design the right vacation for your family. Give yourself a little breathing room before and after the trip and remember to feed and water the family to keep the hangries at bay. Then enjoy. Enjoy everything. Enjoy the good. Enjoy the failures. Just have a great time on your vacation. So thanks for being here with me today and for being part of the Mighty Parenting community. Remember to pop over to mightyparenting.com and get your free email series on communicating with your teen. And I will see you back here next week.